And welcome back to Cinema Vino.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
It's good to have you all here.
More like Cinema Bienvenuto.
Exactly.
Second time that joke has been made.
Yep.
This is, better the second time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the second take.
Yeah, just doing good stuff here. It's been another installment in our summer series looking at blockbusters to, you know, sequel movies that have been forgotten or need to get their due again or just stuff we want to take a look at after a long time. And so this time we're going to do Ghostbuster 2, which is a sequel to a very beloved movie for everybody of a certain age. Yes. You know, there's a lot of people like myself included, and I think a lot of people who grew up watching Ghostbusters. And so Ghostbusters 2 is just one of those sequels that you have to watch as well. You know, I knew I was going to watch it right when it came out. I was becoming a cartoon and everything.
The first Ghostbusters was 1984, and this one's 1989?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
And it was kind of like a lot of these sequels that we talk about. It had kind of a difficult process to make. It took a while to get it out. There was a lot of tension in between Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd making it.
Well, and Bill Murray took like a hiatus from acting.
Yes.
Before this, right? Like he came out of that hiatus for this movie.
Yeah. He had, I think it was The Razor's Edge. There was a movie he made that he had a great involvement in that bombed. And he was so insecure about that he basically quit acting for years and then, you know, made a comeback, I think, for Scrooged. He got back into filmmaking.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Good choice.
Yeah. He came back hot. But there was a doubt that this movie was ever going to be made at all because of that reason right there. And so I believe that, first of all, they wanted so much money to make the film and to pay the salaries of the main cast.
Yeah.
And then I think they mentioned negotiated percentages for them instead of a salary to help keep the budget down. But there was a lot of disagreement about the plot of the movie. I think some people involved in it wanted to get it away from New York, do some different stuff with the plot.
No, there's just the one city with ghosts.
Yeah.
Well, it's like every Marvel movie, only one city ever gets attacked.
Yeah.
New York.
Yeah. But I think I remember hearing that, you know, that Bill Murray was completely misled by the script. Was that it was something completely different than what he thought it was going to end up being?
I think the ideas that they brainstormed out in pre-production ended up not being
exactly.
Yeah, part of that reason was because the studio didn't want to commit the budget to making the film that what they expected, so they had to cut a lot of the movie. It only runs 108 minutes, and so supposedly they left about a half hour more on the cutting room floor of ideas that they wanted but couldn't afford.
I wonder if there's any of those, because I read James Cameron's Spider-Man script before the Tobey movie ever came out. I wonder if there's like one of those floating around on the internet.
No doubt.
For Ghostbusters 2, or like a treatment, because that'd be interesting to see.
I'm sure there is, because Bill Murray said that he and like Sigourney Weaver and Dan Aykroyd, they're all like hashing out ideas together for what they wanted to do, so I guarantee there's stuff written down for that somewhere.
Yeah, and at the very minimum, they would have stashed it away for... You know, if they ever wanted to do a third, you know, who knows? I'm sure those are all ideas that would have been applicable.
Yeah.
Or made it into the cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this movie had, it was kind of like, again, a lot of the other sequels we've seen had a much bigger budget and a much lower gross than the first film. First Ghostbusters was the highest grossing movie comedy ever made when it came out. Mm-hmm. Over $400 million in...
Damn, in 1984?
In 1984.
Wow.
This one clocked in at around half that.
Oof. Wait, so, is it still impressive? It was $400 million in that year?
Yeah.
Or it's accumulated up till now, that amount?
That was its
international
gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was...
Oh, okay.
I believe it might have been the biggest movie of 84. It was either that or Temple of Doom.
Yes. Okay.
So...
That tracks.
Much lower gross for this one. In the aftermath, all the people, Ivan Reitman, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, Rick Moranis, have all said how much they were disappointed by the sequel after it came out. I think that's a big reason why 3 was never made, was they were all reluctant to, you know, keep going down that road if it wasn't working. So they're rebooting it with Ghostbusters Afterlife.
So is that a reboot or is it a... it's a sequel.
I think it's a soft reboot slash sequel.
Because they did a hard reboot with the girl Ghostbusters 2016.
They call that one You Make the Call now. It's like Ghostbusters, You Make the Call. They give it an actual underscore tagline. Or instead of like just Ghostbusters 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that one, I guess that all-female one doesn't fit into the same continuity as the other two.
Right. Yeah, so is that one retconned?
Yeah, that was it. They went forward with that in the 2016 one with Melissa McCarthy as if none of the other movies happened.
Yeah,
like these were hard reboot.
Yeah,
and now they're disregarding that one again to do this one. And I don't know if they're like recognizing both Ghostbusters 1 and 2, or probably just 1, or it's probably going to be nebulous.
Which is the exact same thing that happened with Hellboy, minus the soft reboot third movie.
Yeah.
Right? Is Hellboy 1 and 2, and then years later they did a remake, completely different cast, ignored 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And technically Batman Returns, Batman Forever was kind of a soft reboot of that franchise.
Yeah.
True.
They kept some stuff, but they abandoned other aspects, including good taste.
Yes. Just keep telling the same story over. It's like, we know how he became Batman.
Did you know he lost his parents?
Yeah. It was just like, oh, wow.
Although, okay, we're not talking about this yet, but
Oh,
wait.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can talk about
it. There's Ninja Turtles 1 and 2. There is kind of like a soft continuation, and they had the CGI TMNT that came out in like 2007. It was like kind of like, all right, you know the story of the turtles, and they just kept on going.
Yeah.
So that might be kind of what they're doing on this. They're like, all right, you kind of know what Ghostbusters is about, and we're just going forward. And I know they've got Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, Paul Rudd.
And supposedly quite a few of the surviving cast is there. I think Aykroyd, Ramis, Ernie Hudson, Annie Potts. Trying to think who else. Rick Moranis, they've talked about. I don't know if he's going to be in it.
I doubt it.
I actually think he is.
I take that back.
I think he is going to be in it. It will be his first live-action movie since Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Guys, I'm going to bring this right back to Ghostbusters 2 because I hope to fucking God Peter goddamn McNichol is also in this. Because he is a treasure in this movie.
Yes.
Janosch Pohoff.
Yes. He is honestly my favorite part of this
movie. Yeah. He's the new version of Louis Tully, which I love just as much as the original.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it.
So we'll go around the horn. Okay, so when did you guys first see this movie? What was your impression when you first saw it as a kid?
I saw it actually in theaters, and it was only because I would have been a wee lad. I think I'm pretty sure I didn't see Ghostbusters 1 in theaters, but it was like I saw them pretty close together.
Yeah.
And Ghostbusters 2, I think, was the only reason why I thought it was cool at the time is because of the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And they were using the Nintendo pad.
Yes.
And that was like, to me, like blew my mind.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I liked the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the toys and the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
But so my first impression was just like, well, these guys, like, when you look back on that, like, I don't even know if I knew what the dialogue was. You were just waiting for the monster to come out. You were just waiting for the ghost. You're waiting for something to happen. And that's all I cared about.
Yeah.
It wasn't until years, decades later, where I was like, what the hell is going on in this film? You know, it's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I didn't see it in theaters that I can remember. But I think I saw it, you know, whenever it came out on, like, HBO, like, 6-8 months after it came out.
VHS.
No, I think I was at a sitter's house and they had HBO and I was like, damn, money bags.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like that's 80s HBO. That's
That's like stay up late and watch the fun times HBO.
Yeah.
Eyes
wide shut.
Having a Betamax player.
No, that's not it. But 9.5 weeks, another 9.5 weeks. I don't know. But no, I saw it on, I think, HBO for the first time. And I think the first thing I actually saw was the Scoleri brothers in the courtroom. And I was like, this is pretty badass.
Yeah.
In fact, that was the part that kind of harkened back to like the first one a little bit, but it had, in a different venue. And he got Slimer back. I love that.
Because
obviously Slimer was the big marketing tool for the first movie and for like the cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, but when you watch the movie, shoehorned him into the movie.
When you see the movie, you're like, where's Slimer? Yeah. And then they, obviously he gets pole position in this one, and all out of like nowhere, Louis Tully's like, what? How did you get in there? What are you doing? Yeah. You little scamp. I was like, it's like, what the hell? What is happening? You guys have never interacted. Mm-hmm. You never even high five. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And I was, yeah, Janosz Pocha, Peter McNichol, was the best part of the movie for me. And his, I don't know, his accent from the Upper West Side.
It's beautiful.
Great. Yeah. I loved it. It reminded me a lot of like, I think I'd also seen the remake of The Blob around then. Mm-hmm. So whenever I saw like the buildings covered and stuff and like people getting slimed, like The Blob scarred me when I saw somebody get like eaten by acid in like a telephone booth. So parts of this, I was like, okay, I don't know. Like, is this Ghostbusters or The Blob? Like whenever I would see it on TV, but it was good shit. Like I was a kid. All I gave a shit about was like the proton packs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in this one, they get a brand new proton pack. I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about the tank where they do the happy slime?
Yeah, where they splooge people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty yeah. sweet.
That was a big fan. Facials, cockies, guns. All yeah. over.
He's going to wake up feeling like $1 million.
Well, I love you too.
Yeah. Are you?
Yeah. Yeah, a buddy of mine, we were in a destination wedding about 10 or 12 years ago for a friend of ours. And I think we annoyed the holy hell out of people doing Janosz impressions pretty much the entire time we were down there. It's like, oh, but they're rude. So, Sean, when did you see it first? What was your...
Well, when the first Ghostbusters came out and the second Ghostbusters came out, I was -6 and -1 years old, respectively. So I think the cartoon was really my introduction because that was more kid-friendly yeah. at the time. So I probably watched Ghostbusters 1 and 2. On VHS sometime from Blockbuster in like 96, 97. Mm-hmm. You know, probably about the same age that you guys saw it in theaters. You fucking old people.
Oh. Note to listeners, Sean's a bitch.
Yeah. Young side note.
I always, because 1 and 2 I saw right around the same time because they always watched them on VHS, I always confused plot lines. Mm-hmm. And I could never remember which one had, the Marshmallow Man versus which one had Viggo. So, it's always great to revisit it. And I always, it's not as good as the first one, but it's still fun. You don't have to do the whole, like, rebuilding the Ghostbusters, watching them start from, like, scratch and then going up to... introducing themselves to the city. Like, they're established. Everyone knows who they are. But it's 5 years later, what have you, and they're all going about their lives. But, I loved it. Not as much as the first one.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell that they tried to get the same jokes to hit twice. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't.
Yeah, bottle up that magic again.
Yeah, they're like, what if we did it again 5 years later?
And, yeah.
And
they kind of did a good job of that early on when they were just like, going to a kid's birthday party. They were basically like...
You man.
Yeah, they were like, this is not what...
It's a little self-aware.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, that's pretty good. Then they just... Yeah.
Trivia note, that was the director's son, Ivan Reitman's son, Jason, that was like the kid that was like, my dad says you guys are full of crap.
And he's the one who's directing, the 2021 movie.
Yeah.
He's the kid
directing
is.
The new movie.
Shit, yeah.
Full circle. And his kid is going to make fun of them. And then that kid is going to go on to direct in like 20 years.
2041.
In a 2026 reboot or 2046 reboot, mm-hmm. it's going to be his son.
Yeah.
We're caught in a loop.
Really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. See, this is the one series, like Ghostbusters should be the franchise like Fast and Furious. Yes. We should have Ghostbusters in outer space.
Yeah. Yes. Ghostbusters 9.
I think Men in Black tried to do that. And it was like, no.
Well, their problem is they started off in space. Big problem.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
My problem. This is my problem. Whenever you see the first movie, we see like Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver getting together. Like, will they? Won't they? Oh yeah, they're besties. Then, boom, all of a sudden, 5 years later, like, she dumps him.
They broke up.
She has a, she got a baby daddy.
A baby.
That's, gone, and she's got little Oscar. And then it's the same story again. It's like him trying to win her back. Like, I get tired of that shit. I was more invested. I was, like, devastated. I was like, no, I saw the movie. They they love no
happily ever after. Happened?
Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I was more like excited for Lewis Tully and Janine.
Oh, yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, I was really pulling for Lewis. I was like, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And who's to say he didn't clap the cheeks and off?
Oh, yeah, I think he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Her lipstick was very must, and they had French bread pizza. So
that's a recipe for love. But yeah, it does.
I used to have a roommate, but then my mom moved to Florida.
He is great in this movie.
He's great in every movie.
He is. He makes a great Lewis Tully.
He was wasted on the ending a little bit because yeah. he's just sitting there stuck. He's like, I got this. And then everybody thinks he's.
Oh my God, yeah. Foster.
Mm-hmm. I needed him. I want him more front and center.
You wanted an actual like redemption for him to yeah. be in the Ghostbusters.
Oh, I mean, he was still delightful, but he needed to be in it more. And he needed to be more of a central character.
Play an like actual an active, part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did try to take the same plot points from the first movie, like cut and paste. And they're like, there wasn't really anything super original about the script.
Yeah.
It was with a little, yeah.
They just did stuff. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the courtroom, like you said, takes place mm-hmm. of the hotel ballroom. And then, you know, yeah, it's like the villain has an interest in Dana. Who happens to be dating Bill Murray. And so he wants to capture her and like yada, yada, yada.
There you go.
Same thing. And yeah, Janos is the Rick Moranis character. He also gets pulled in by the bad guy. So it's like basically Lewis and Sigourney Weaver again. There's a big crowd outside cheering them on. In the first film, it's like they have to, you know, the plot point is they have to like uncover all this demon activity. This time it's like they have to discover goodwill and get a good attitude. They have to battle with the mayor again. They have to battle with one of the mayor's yeah. assistants. Oh, yeah. Again.
His crony that, you know,
just a different them. Guy.
Yeah.
But I did like Vigo that it was like fucking painting. You know, like, well, this is stupid. But I don't know. It somehow it worked because the villain, you knew what he looked like and he was like ever present. Mm-hmm. But what I did like about the random, like the Scolari brothers, was that you had finally like a ghost that the guy that put him away was like, oh, I know who those people are. Yeah, like, yeah. I think they were great for a little introduction, like action set piece, but. I kind of wish that they were used more, that Vigo was like, oh, brought him back somehow, and he had little henchmen, or I don't know. I thought it was great to have, like, the ancient evil ghost coming back, but it was also interesting to have, like, those other two that one of the characters had a connection with showing up and, yeah. like, stuff.
Yeah.
Reminded me of a little bit of, what did we watch recently? Oh, Frighteners,
mm-hmm.
yeah. where they knew the weird, like, serial killer guy.
Yeah.
And it's always, like, when you look back at these films, what, you know, 20 plus years ago, and then you've seen, like, just using for example,
30 plus years.
It wasn't one of the greatest series, you know, endings, but it was like Game of Thrones, you know, like the Night King, which is what Vigo could have been, you know. But it's, you know, at the time, you don't, when you rewatch these films and you look at it, you're like, damn, why didn't they do this, or this?
Yeah.
You know, and so
if the Night King had covered King's Landing in pink ooze,
yes, exactly,
by the negativity of Cersei,
yeah.
I would have watched the shit out of that.
Exactly,
yeah. Everybody had yeah. to get outside and hold hands and sing.
Yeah, yep.
That's my season 8 right there.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the fucking Army of the Dead, don't they have like fucking ghosts? He's got like zombies. He's got whites. He's got zombie dragons. Yeah. yeah. Can't you tell me you can't get one goddamn specter, one poltergeist,
Jon Snow with a proton
pack, one apparition? Holy shit!
Yes.
Yeah.
Cersei has like 3 proton packs and gives one to Jon. And
I did see a weird stat that said their stat one trivia thing that they only say proton pack once in, and it's only in Ghostbusters 2 when they're in the train. When they're down there and he's like, maybe we should put our proton packs on or something like that. So yeah. I think they only actually say proton pack once.
Huh.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they say like total protonic reversal and other
dirty shit.
Well, so much of the canon comes from the cartoon. Yeah. Like a lot of the canon comes mm-hmm. from the cartoon because they have so much more time to, you know, build stuff out. Plus, they want more things to be toys and accessories for the kids.
It was the real Ghostbusters because there was another Ghostbusters cartoon before the actual Ghostbusters movie came out, and it had a talking gorilla was one of the Busters, and they had old school, it was weird. Had nothing to do with
the 80s had a lot of like copycat shows.
No, this was a precursor to anything Ghostbusters related.
So it was like out in like 83, and then Ghostbusters came out in 84.
I think
totally
so.
Separate.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I think it was a series that came up before the people who actually were in charge of steering the Ghostbusters canon took control of it. It was like a series, I think it was between part 1 and part 2, But then, like, the people, like Ivan Reitman type people, looked at it and said, no, we want to do a different series, but that's more canon that we can actually, like, put between the two movies. You know, a la Clone Wars kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so they basically rebooted it and called it The Real Ghostbusters.
Hmm. So that was 1976. Shit.
Wow.
This was, yeah, okay, so they snatched it up. And, yeah, it's just a random-ass gorilla, but they have some of the same...
Is it a ghost gorilla?
That's Johnny Chimpo. Hmm. I was like,
so is it kind of Scooby-Doo-ish?
It looks Scooby-Doo-ish. Definitely. Like Hanna-Barbera?
Yeah. I mean, their car looks dope just because it has the weird ghost face on the front.
Huh.
But, yeah, I don't know if they, like, took some of those ideas or not.
Where's the sequel to this that we're missing?
Oh. Yeah. That's my Ghostbusters right there.
Yeah.
My Ghostbusters.
Hashtag not my Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I thought it was only a few years. I didn't know it was 1976. But, you know, they took over that name.
One interesting bit of movie trivia. This is a nerdy aside, but it's like, so Star Trek V came out this same year. No crappy sequel. And it really suffered. It's the lowest regarded Star Trek movie. But one reason...
What's that one?
The Final Frontier. What does God need with a starship?
Jesus.
Yeah. And
exactly.
And so there's one knock on that movie was special effects were terrible. And so one reason why the special effects were terrible was because Industrial Light and Magic, the Hollywood's biggest, most famous special effects house, George Lucas's house, was working on... It had enough people to work on two movies. And so they were working... Their A team was working on Last Crusade, Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Their B team was working on Ghostbusters 2. Mm. And so they didn't have anybody to work on Star Trek. So Star Trek had to go to, like, Uncle Skippy and get the special effects. That's why they were horrible. Ooh. Yeah. Huh. So a little side note for trivia there.
We got Uncle Jim's Laser and Light Show. We're coming in.
Have you written, like, reviews on all the Star Trek movies?
I have not.
Okay.
But if we do one for a sequel, I will.
Yeah, I like how... Yeah, Star Trek 2, because all of the even numbered ones are like really good. Well, until you get to the Chris Pine ones, I don't know about that. But
I think the odd ones are better in those in the Chris Pine.
Oh, wow!
But the original, the even ones are better.
Mm. All right, keep going. Sorry, I got us off track.
That's okay.
Janosch Poha, Janine, Louis Tully, Slime,
and it's a great movie. That I think it has its moments of greatness. It has its moments of being a crappy sequel.
Yeah,
they mix together. Bill Murray's still pretty funny. You know, the cast all has great chemistry.
They put slime in a toaster.
Yeah.
He accuses Spengler of sleeping with it.
Yeah. And
don't tell me you're sleeping with it.
It's the quiet ones.
Which I didn't get that as a kid. That meant nothing to me.
Yeah. It was it's still the adult innuendo. It's just like, that's why I think I like the film so much. I mean, yeah, it's an inferior to the first one, but it was like, it's still so damn funny.
Yeah.
And all of the actors are like great comedians.
It's just,
you know, comedic timing people that they probably improvised a ton of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, I watched a YouTube video. I think the guy's name is Legal Eagles, his channel. And it's a lawyer and he breaks down the legality of like courtroom scenes and movies.
I saw that. He did the TNG or Star Trek The Next Generation with Data. Right?
And he did My Cousin Vinny. Yeah. He does like all the Grisham movies. He did the courtroom scene in this one.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you know, he broke down why Lewis is a terrible lawyer and how it's like, you know.
He got stuck on an elevator. I had to make the whole time.
At one time I turned into a dog and they helped me. Thank you.
Thank you.
and then his, like, Bill Murray's, like, just leading him on the witness stand, is telling him what to say. Rick Murray's like, what? Oh, yeah, yeah. When you love a city like you do, well, you just want to. It's like but then he references, like, you know, that blue thing I got from her. It's like that's an actual legal document that he's referring to. So it's pretty funny.
I mean, I really would have liked to see them shoehorn in more like Twinkie advertisements in this one. I mean, they just had the one that was like, that's a hell of a Twinkie. Like, I would like to see some blatant, like, I want them to get some Twinkie money. I don't want to see that Twinkie money on the screen.
Yeah.
I think 2002, 2003 money. Was like peak product placement in movies, you know?
Yeah.
We saw like Men in Black was really bad.
The Pierce Brosnan Bonds were very bad.
Oh, yeah. Those were real bad.
Yeah.
I think it was just too subtle back then.
Yeah. It wasn't a thing. I'm trying to think of the first movie I saw that was loaded with product placement other than Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was 92. I was just saying.
Yeah.
That.
Back to the Future was pretty heavy on product placement.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that was part of their gag, but it was like also.
Can I get a Pepsi free?
Yeah.
You want a Pepsi, pal. You got to pay for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just thinking
of Nikes, the whole thing, Toyota.
All right. Can I get a tab?
Yeah. But.
A tab. You got to want us some.
I enjoyed it less as an adult than I did as a kid. Again, it's like everything else we watch so far. There's nostalgia behind it.
Oh, yeah.
Batman Returns. It's like, I think about how much I loved it as a kid. And, it's like I didn't like it as much this time.
Yeah. I mean, like, to me, like, I played it today. I mean, I've seen it numerous times. I love Ghostbusters. But I had it on as background noise. And I almost prefer it that way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and really it's just for the comedic, you know, Bill Murray kind of aspect of it. Just to hear
Bill Lebowski.
Yeah, it was like just to hear his quips and everything. It's like, because I know the visual effects. I know, like you said, it's like the very ending where Louis Tully, quote unquote, saves the day. It's hilarious, but I don't need to watch that. Yeah. And so it's just more just, it's a very, almost like Kevin Smith-esque, where in Tarantino, very dialogue-driven film. Or it can be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
I lost it. Go.
Yeah.
Great point.
Yes. Take it. Todd arched an eyebrow at me, and whenever he does that, I lose whatever I've got going on in my head.
I call that my Ricardo Montalban move. It's like, it's my charm.
So, and you'll have to help me out here. I'm not really sure what is it? It's, I guess, a spinoff with a movie. But I wish they would have, with Peter Venkman as a psychic. Mm-hmm. God, that could have been a great
movie. That was a great scene.
That was like, bummer.
Valentine's Day.
Bummer. It's like, that could have been a phenomenal spinoff. Mm-hmm. Just like have him, you know, that could have been so great.
It was too early. I mean, if that was around now, Adult Swim would pick it up and air that show every night, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Be great.
So your alien had a room at the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Paramus. I love this kid, or I love this movie as a kid, because you got to see, like, they animated the Statue of Liberty that had slime.
Yeah.
And just, like, all the other, you know, shenanigans, ghosts. Again, I didn't like it as well as I did the first movie. And then as an adult, you, like, get more of the humor, and you're just, like, honestly, anybody who loves Bill Murray is along for the ride just to see him be, like, a shitty asshole to everybody. And you're like, this is fucking dope.
Yeah.
And as I got older, like, I loved Sigourney Weaver in both movies.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't, like, you know, I really wanted a third movie where maybe she got a proton pack. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, female Ghostbuster.
All the Ghostbusters are in trouble. Sigourney Weaver straps one on, saves the day.
Yeah, I wanted her to have one, much like Ripley's gun in the Aliens movie, where she goes to fight the Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would have a boner.
Oh, and I thought about that when she was like backing away with her baby, and it's like, you know, just stay away from him. I mean it. It's like, I think what you mean is like, get away from her, you bitch.
Sigourney Weaver is just, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah. And one of the great action heroes. So it's interesting to see her playing just like the mom, the love interest, the not action hero here.
Femme Fatale,
Like I said, it'd be great to give her like the actual outfit, the proton pack, and all that, and make her a Ghostbuster.
I'll tell you, that's a sequel we should have done. It's Aliens. But have we done it already?
Oh, I'm totally down.
Yeah.
We've never done it, and Joanna's never seen it. So.
Three, four? How many are there?
So many.
There's multiple.
Do you count the ones
where he fights Predator?
Okay, no.
There's four.
Well, shame on you.
Four plus the two Prometheus movies.
There's
one, two, three.
Three Prometheus movies, aren't there?
I think so.
Promethei?
No, there's Prometheus and then Alien Covenant.
I saw the first two Prometheus, at least they hurt my head.
Now, did they fight in space?
They're all in space.
But I mean, like, was there like a...
were two Alien versus Predators. So you have Alien 1, Alien 2, Alien 3, and Alien Resurrection. Then you had like...
Alien
Predator. And then you had Prometheus, and then you had Alien Covenant, which was the sequel to...
Now, there is one with Ron Perlman in it. So tie back to...
That's Alien Resurrection, and that was written by Joss Whedon.
Okay, I think I've seen that one.
Where she's like has acid blood. Where she's like
part thing. They all kind of blend together.
Yeah. And Jeannie Triplehorn's husband.
So
he has a chest burster.
Leland Orser. Yeah.
Yep.
So neither one of these fought Jason or Freddy.
Ooh. No.
No.
Okay. Okay.
I like it.
Just though. Predator.
Gotcha.
Twice.
So a couple of quick things.
I'm sorry.
We're good. We talk about the wine we're drinking. We're drinking Scylla. Scylla.
Spell it.
Scylla. Scylla.
Oh.
This is a red blend.
I thought you were going to go somewhere, Travis. So I was like, oh.
It's like a Greek name.
Carignan Grenache Mourvèdre, which is similar to the Bandol style in France, mm-hmm. or the Bandol region, the reds they make there.
I was about to say that.
Nice, pretty, I think, full-bodied but velvety red.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Smooth.
Chillable.
Yes.
Very chillable.
Yes.
Scylla is a legendary monster who lives on one side of the narrow channel of water opposite her counterpart, Charybdis. And that's where that sentence ends.
Okay. So
this is Greek mythology.
This is pronounced Scylla.
I don't fucking know.
Okay. S-E-Y-L-L-A. And it definitely has a monstrous theme on the label, which I thought kind of fit Ghostbusters.
Nice.
They fight supernatural creatures, so why not? But yeah, it's a great wine, probably mid-20s price point. Yeah, food friendly, movie friendly, all the above. Great standalone wine. So, and another question I have to ask, we're going to run over our time a little bit, but I want to run over for this.
Yeah.
I thought about this frequently because we're watching the Paul McCartney Hulu thing with Rick Rubin. And at the same time, we were watching Ghostbusters and four Ghostbusters, four Beatles. Who on the Ghostbusters is who on the Beatles?
This is a question for Taylor.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I got a clear, because I'm also a Beatles fanatic, a clear parallel in my mind.
You're going to kill me. All right.
We'll compare notes.
Well, I got to say, straightforward, Paul and Bill Murray.
Okay.
Just because of the creativeness, you know, maybe, yeah. Then if I'm going, shit, this is tough, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is hard. John would probably be
Venkman, the brains behind the organization.
I was thinking Egon.
Well, it's like, and John is the brains.
Yeah,
I put John and Venkman together just because they both have the same sense of humor.
I can see that. Yeah.
Assholes.
Yeah,
kind of.
So
sarcastic.
Then George being Egon, and then good old Ringo,
and Ringo and Winston.
Ringo and Winston.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Because you know.
Wow.
Ringo, you know, he's just happy to be there and play.
I'm playing my drums like this.
And Ernie Hudson got fucked over, like, in the first movie. He didn't even show up to like 40 minutes in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he was, again, underutilized in this one.
Yeah. And it's like his line when he gets hired is like, if there's a steady paycheck involved, I'll believe anything you say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Ringo.
Yeah.
George, you know, was kind of the most, I would say, scientific towards music. He was the most, like, the biggest student of actual music, you know, as opposed to John and Paul, who didn't read music at all. So I think that's
that definitely. Rhymed.
Yeah. There you go. George and Egon.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah.
Ray and Paul.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I went straight to Bill and Paul. I was like, yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did the same thing with the Golden Girls. I was like, who on the four Golden Girls? And fits who on the Beatles? And it's clearly Dorothy as John Lennon.
Oh, no doubt.
Totally.
Yeah.
I would love to see Dorothy with a proton pack, though.
Yeah.
Now there's.
I don't think you want to see that.
No.
I don't think Vigo wants to see that.
That's a good one, though. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm. I think Blanche, Paul McCartney.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah. Rose and Ringo.
Rose and Ringo.
Sophia and George.
Yep.
I think
that's like a power couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Those are those are all power couples.
Yeah.
That is strong. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I've got one more matchup. Out of all the Ghostbusters, which one would be which Ninja Turtle?
That's a good one too, because they well see
who's the party dude? Who's Michelangelo?
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about
Ringo,
honestly. Yeah. I think Raphael might be Bill Murray.
Okay.
Just because
He's rowdy.
He's cool but rude.
Mm-hmm.
But Michelangelo's a party dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think Leo have to be John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so Donatello is
Paul McCartney?
Donatello would be George Harris.
Or George Harris. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I think that works.
Guys, we've done some good work here today.
Yeah.
I want to see that matchup. I want to see that come together in a movie, you know? Do the deep fake Beatles and Ninja Turtles.
Now, hold on. I have one more matchup for you guys.
I mean, I wanted Ninja Turtles and Golden Girls. I want to see who was who, but you keep going.
Which Golden Girls are we?
Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. And I mean, who wants to be Rose? And
I mean, it's probably me. Is anybody else here Rose? No.
It's Taylor's clearly it's Blanche.
It's me.
Yeah. Yeah. Southern Belle.
I can see.
It's a real duke out to see who is Dorothy.
One of us is Dorothy and one of us is Sophia.
I'm old, so I'm probably Sophia.
Dorothy?
I'm moderately crotchety, so I'll probably have to be Sophia.
I always liked Sophia.
She'll hit you with her purse, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, she's the heart of the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
are the Ghostbusters
exactly?
Yeah. Bill Getty,
yeah,
she fucks.
Oh, no.
Excuse me,
out
fucked. Yeah,
we need to release a guide of what the different four person teams are and how they match up with each other, mm-hmm. so that we can do some math of like, okay, this person is clearly this person. And a definitive guide.
One way or the other, I'm probably Sporty Spice. It just ends up with me doing backflips.
Wait, okay, let's not ask this question. Let's ask the question, which spice is left behind? There's five spices. There's only four of us.
Now we're just teetering on something here. It's like, because, you know, if we leave one...
The answer is Sporty, or no, the answer is Posh Spice.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There we go. Yes. We'll leave that one out.
I concur. I mean, as much as we try to be posh,
yeah,
I think we reach for the stars and fall short on that
one.
Well, two become one.
Exactly. Our producer's telling us to wrap stuff up. But this has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we thank you all very much for coming along for the ride.
And if you want to hear any other mashups, please let us know, because I'm here for this.
Yeah.
Needle mashups, Golden Girl mashups.
Let us know which four-person team you want to see mashed up with others.
Yeah.
And then Todd's got like brand new Cinema Vino stuff out for you.
Oh yeah,
like we'll new social medias.
We will have more info on that in a second. But next time we're going to do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No, Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Yeah. That's right. We're doing the sequel, so that's coming up soon. So stay tuned for that, and then Blade 2 after that, which will be a jarring change of pace to do those back to back.
I'm here for it though.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We have we are. There are literally millions of podcasts on Earth. Nobody is doing Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves and then Blade 2 the following
week. That's for damn sure.
I don't care who they are.
And they're not doing mashups of the Golden Girls.
No.
I guarantee you that.
No, they don't have Ninja Turtles and Spice Girls and Golden Girls all in the same conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're pioneers. We're Oregon Trail.
And yeah.
We've all got dysentery.
I want to see which Spice Girl each one of the Golden Girls are. We need to follow this up.
Yeah. I'll take my answer off the air.
Sophia is obviously Baby Spice, first of all.
Yeah, just for the irony.
And I think, was it Ginger Spice? I'm kind of forgetting the names now.
Yeah, Ginger Spice, yeah. Scary Spice,
Blossom, Sporty Bubbles, Spice, Buttercup,
Posh Spice.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
I'm missing one.
They got to get back together.
Yeah.
Scary, Baby, Ginger,
Bam Bam,
Posh, Sporty.
Yeah.
God damn.
Okay, we got them all.
That's alphabetical order.
That wasn't right.
Guys, we'll see you later.
It's not alphabetical order.
That was not.
out with a bang and in like a whimper or whatever the catchphrase is.
Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
But with a whimper, yes. We will see you guys next time. To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.